Well, great to see everyone here tonight. What a blessing and what a privilege it is to speak. I don't take it lightly at all. I've been thinking about the last week, and I was always uncertain to what I was going to say. I was telling my wife before, she said, "You leave things last minute," and I said to her, because I didn't know what to say, and I'm a very practical person, so I kept thinking about what happened in the drama, right? I think about the impact that drama had, and all I'm hearing is testimony after testimony about what something that simple had on people's lives. You know, over 500 people came, and I'd never done something like this before. It was a first for me. But I had time to reflect. I had time to sit back and just really absorb it all in. And I remember when I was up here, I saw people lifting their hands and praising God, you know, and that was touching to me, how something as simple as that could impact people's lives. And so for those of you that don't know, I had the privilege of playing Judas. And it was my choice. To be fair, it was my choice. My wife asked me, and I didn't want a speaking role, so I said, any role that doesn't allow me to speak. But I didn't actually know I was going to speak the following week, so that was a little bit. That was my role. And I really had to take on that role. And I kept thinking, Judas. Why Judas? Judas is known as the betrayer, right? If you can turn to Matthew 26, verse 45 to 50, it says, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand, and doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests. Now he betrayed him, gave them a sign, saying, whomever I shall kiss, and the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him." Right, a lot there to unpack. Basically, Jesus comes, Judas comes, betrays him. But Jesus' response wasn't, Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus' response was, "Friend." Right? Jesus knew it, but the response was, "Friend." So, tonight I'm going to be talking to you what to do when we betray Jesus. Because that was us. That was me on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You know, playing Judas, I said before, it was a blessing. I didn't realize the effort that it took. And as I put myself into that position, I looked at myself. I said, what is it that I'm doing to betray Jesus? What have I done? And I'll be honest with you, I have betrayed Jesus. Could be my Australian ways of speaking, my honesty. Maybe the Americans are different, but I'm honest. I have betrayed Jesus. What is betrayal? Betrayal is to deliver or expose one by treachery or disloyalty or to deceive or mislead. Right? And although the most famous thing in the Bible was Judas betraying Jesus, they all betrayed Jesus. If you go back, who was Jesus with 3 days before? He was with the multitudes. Jesus healed, he touched, and still they turned their backs on him. Let's look at the disciples, right? All the disciples turned their back on Jesus. Not one of them. And probably the most famous was Peter. Let's look at Peter, another disciple, the one that Jesus said, I will build upon this rock, I will build my church. The one closest to Jesus. Peter said unto him, Matthew 26 and 35, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples, and yet Peter denied him not once, not twice, but three times. Now, again, we look at Judas, and I look at Judas, and I'm saying that Judas, he was the betrayer. He did wrong, and we point the finger at him. Peter denied Jesus three times, right? Peter said, no, I do not know this man. Three times. I look back on Judas and I think, if only Judas chose to humble himself to the one he betrayed. You know, he went to the high priest. He took the money and said, I don't want this money. Whether it was guilt, I don't know. But what a different story that would have been if Judas came back to Jesus. Jesus still would have died on that cross for me. That wouldn't have changed. But Judas would have. Judas would have changed the entire... He had a choice. Again, we have a choice. His choice was to get rid of that guilt, that shame that he had by giving back this money. You know, even in the midst of betrayal, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, friend. Jesus said, friend, even though I know that this man, Judas, is going to betray me. What an amazing story of redemption it would have been if Judas had got back to Jesus, asked Jesus for forgiveness, stayed in love with Jesus, stayed connected with Jesus. What an amazing story of redemption that would have been. But Judas, he chose the other. Let's have a look at Peter. I said before, he denied Jesus three times. And even after Jesus said, you will deny me. In John 21 and 7, it says, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard this, it was the Lord, he girt his father's coats unto him and did cast himself into the sea. Soon as Peter said, heard Jesus is alive. What did he do? He jumped out of that boat. He said, this is the Jesus that I love. He didn't hold back. He came into reconciliation with Jesus. That's what we need to do. He said to Jesus, I love you. But Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus said, do you love me? Go feed my sheep. By this point, Peter's like, of course I love you. Go feed my sheep. Jesus, I love you. Go feed my sheep. Jesus still asked the question. That's what Jesus asked for us today. Peter reconciled with Jesus. He came to a point to with Jesus. He knew what he had done was wrong. But he still came back to Jesus. He said to Jesus, there was a reconciliation there. He did it out of love. He sought forgiveness. He stayed connected. And he didn't just stay connected, but he stayed connected with Jesus and the body. He did this out of love. You know, I wasn't sure whether I should add this story or not because this story is about me. I was telling my wife, and it's a story I don't like to tell, but I was telling my wife, I was working away on one of the oil rigs, and, you know, there's 200, 300 people out there sometimes, everyone a lot more educated than me, and there was this guy there, and he came up to me, we had a chat, and I said, what do you do for a living? What are you doing out here? Now, this guy was a big name. A lot of people knew him. He was an electrical engineer with a mechanical fitting degree, engineering degree. He had four or five different degrees under his belt. And God was like, talk to him. Tell me about him. I said, God, I don't think that's you. That's got to be something else speaking. God was like, No. Talk to him. So again, I was like, Lord, is this from you? How am I able to speak to this guy that's got four or five different engineering degrees? Who am I to speak to him? God was like, speak to him. So I denied it. He came up to me and he's like, so, you know, how are things? What's going on? And we got on the topic of religion and I didn't say that I was a Christian. I didn't say anything and I denied it. Now, in my type of industry, there are no Christians out there. I am the only Christian. I went back to my room. I prayed to the Lord and I said, forgive me. Forgive me for not listening to your word. Forgive me for not having this relationship with you that I've desired. Forgive me, Jesus. Now, I could have easily reconciled in my own head to say that wasn't the voice of God. But I asked God, I said, Lord, forgive me. I come to you right now, forgive me. Give me another opportunity. And the following day, this man that was there, he was meant to be flying out, and another opportunity arose. So I had another opportunity to speak. And as I spoke to him, I said, Lord, I want your words to speak through to me, to him. I may not be the most educated, but I need you right now. And as I spoke to him, he spoke about what he believed. He spoke about his religion and how Christianity was bad. And I let him speak for about 5 to 10 minutes. And then I said, Lord, this is you. Every single point that he made, I broke down. Now, this guy's meant to be a well-educated man. But as I spoke, every single point was broken down. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't even know what I said. But I knew God worked through me to speak to this man. I denied God. I denied Jesus. But I came back to a place to say, God, it's not me, it's you. I want this relationship with you. I turned back from my sins. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to love you more. It wasn't me. God worked through me to speak to this man. He came back saying, he came back and said to me, I don't know, I thought you weren't as educated as I thought. And I said, look, you may not understand, but that's God. That's Jesus working through me. So, and you know, he left the following day, and I kept asking God, I was like, Lord, what is it? Why did you want me to speak to this man over here? Why, out of everyone in this entire oil and gas rig, is one man you said, speak? You know, and I believe that it wasn't necessary. It was for him, but it was for his family too. It was for everyone in that family. So, what does it matter when we betray Jesus? What do we need to do when we betray Jesus? First, you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to get back in relationship with him. You need to run to him as Peter did. You need to stay connected. You need to stay connected to the body, to this church. So, I know for me, I didn't know these principles. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew in my heart that I turned myself from Jesus. I turned my back to Jesus. But Jesus said, no, son. This is a place of repentance. This is where I want you to be. You know, when I was working away, my room was the size of that... My bed was the size of that piano. It was tiny. But in that bed, I saw forgiveness. And I said to God, I want you to take me deeper. I don't want to betray. I don't want to go back down that path, but I want to be in love with you more and more every day. You know, so ultimately, for me, it was my choice. You know, that's what I love about God, that he allows me to make that choice. He allows me to come before him. But sometimes, you just got to run to him. You got to seek him. Seek his forgiveness. He is certainly quick to forgive. Stay connected with this body, with the body, and stay connected with his love. That's it.
Awesome. Sister Tracy, if you'll put up Revelation, the 7th chapter. You know, I appreciate Brother David's honesty and authenticity, and I can almost hear the wheels turning. He said that he's never been in a drama like this, and the fact that he had to be Judas 4 times made him start thinking about what that meant. And I have wondered what would happen if Judas could have found a place to ask for forgiveness, but I think he cut himself off. I don't know. I mean, 2 thieves were on the cross. One was cussing him out. I don't know if the first one started, because the Bible said in one account that they were both going at it. And then one said to the other, "Now look, we deserve to be here," but he didn't do anything. And you can almost see maybe that thief was thinking to himself, "Wow, I'm going out. If this guy's got anything, I want to go with him." And so a man who was guilty said, "Will you remember me?" I don't even know that he knew he could ask for forgiveness. He just said, "Remember me. Don't forget me." He was so humble. I don't know. He didn't say, "Now, God, I'm guilty here." The Lord overheard those two talking, and he just said, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "You'll be with me today." That was enough. That's amazing. Just that much. But I want you to go with me, if you have your Bibles, Revelation 7. And verse 9, we're going to start at verse 9. This kind of goes along with what do you do when you betray the Lord, and under what circumstances? And are we hopeless, or is there a scripture in the Bible that says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory"? That means before relief came, we said, "Forget it, I can't take the pressure anymore." Because the glory is the moment at which you completely give up, and then the glory of God descends. Now, I would say that we are candidates for that kind of experience. Now, I want you to look with me. Revelation 7:9 says, "After this I beheld," this is after 144,000 Jews have been sealed from all the tribes in Israel, "and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb.'" They could have said anything, but they said, "Salvation. I've been saved from something." Salvation to him. And then in verse 11, it said, "The angels stood around about the throne, fell before the throne, worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might be unto our God.'" And you know what prompted all that? All those people standing there in white robes hollering, "Salvation! Woo! Salvation!" And all the angels and all the other creatures then started saying, "And glory and honor." Well, why couldn't the angels say salvation? Because they had never been saved. Know why? Because they'd never been lost. These people in white robes were saying salvation, which means at one time or another they didn't have it, and now they do. Okay? Verse 13. "And one of the elders answered," all that Woo! And that elder answered and said, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Who are these people, and where they come from?" And verse 14 said, "I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest." John said, I see them. You're asking me where they came from. I don't know where they came from. I don't have a clue. And then he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now, you and I know what the blood of the Lamb is for. It is to wash away sin, right? That blood was shed for one reason. We have a debt we cannot pay. These people got a white robe, and apparently it got dirty. And you know how it got dirty? "These are they which came out of great tribulation." Now, if you have a notebook, I want you to write down what it means, because I think this is going to be a blessing to you. Following up Brother David's statement and teaching about what happens when you betray Jesus. He didn't say just deny him. He said, "I've done that too, but I've betrayed him." What would have happened if Judas would have said, I was getting ready to trade you. I don't want to trade you. I don't want to give you up for my reputation. I don't want to give you up for money. I don't want to give you up because I'm ashamed. I don't want to do it. Jesus, I changed my mind. That's called repent. I want you to listen to what it says tribulation is, because I want you to hear. And this robe, in case you don't know, the white robe that these people have been given is a robe of righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. When the Lord, the Bible says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's three things. Does a Bible scholar here remember what it is? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. So John baptized. What he was saying is, and Jesus was going to be identified by the fact that he was going to start the baptisms. John was going to start baptizing people. In other words, you need a cleansing. You need a cleansing. And then, of course, John said he's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost, the one that's coming after me. When we are baptized, we receive the ability to be righteous. Remember, you've heard pastors say, Jesus stepped in that water. He didn't have any sin, so he couldn't leave his sin in the water. He left his righteousness in the water. So that when you and I go down in the name of Jesus, we put on that righteousness that he left. And the Bible said we walk in newness of life. We are given righteousness. So when we receive the Holy Ghost, when we are baptized in his name, our sins are washed, we receive the ability to be righteous because of him. Not self-righteous, but his righteousness. So these people got their righteousness dirty. How in the world did they get dirty after having received that white robe? Here we go. Let's look up the word tribulation, and I want you to hear what it says. Are you ready? Tribulation, a pressing. I'm reading from Revelation 7:14. These have come out of great pressing. Anybody feel pressed? Pressing together. So it's not just pressure this way with something on you. It's also pressure this way. Have you ever felt like it's coming from both sides? just immense pressure. Tribulation is pressure. Here's another, oppression. You know, a lot of times people feel blue and they think that there's something wrong with them. They need to take a happy pill because they feel oppressed. Well, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes there's a reason for you to feel that way. We've got problems. You didn't make it up. You are in situations that hurt. Peter did not go, I don't know him, because he was just like, he's been up all night, he hadn't had a bath. Peter was under extreme pressure. Have you ever said something you wished you wouldn't have because you were under incredible pressure? I'm just looking at the floor. Okay, now, what if you're a disciple of Jesus and you said something under extreme pressure? Let me tell you what else it says. It's not just oppression, it's affliction. Affliction. I can go and look that word up. Affliction can come from anywhere. It can be mental affliction, physical affliction, emotional affliction. And usually those feelings are accompanied by a circumstance that produced it. You are being pushed to the limit. These people with the white robes came out of great oppression, great affliction, great tribulation. Did you know there's another word that applies to tribulation? Distress. Have you been distressed lately? Has something distressed you in your life? Is it in your body? Is it in your family? Is it a circumstance? I'm telling you, if you have received the Holy Ghost, you've been given a white robe. Oh no, I've betrayed. Oh no, I've denied. When I read this, I was like, Lord, why would these people have to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb? Well, when I looked up tribulation, I was like, oh, I get it. Because they messed up under the pressure. Okay, I wish we were all like Jesus. I would like to say that I would not do what Peter did. I would like to think that I wouldn't try to make money off of my relationship with God. I can tell you now, people under pressure do things that are regrettable. Do you hear me? But do you know what the Bible said these people did that made the difference between them and Judas, that put them in the same rank as Peter? Put that up again. Revelation 7 and 14. I want to see that scripture again. These are they which came out of great what? And they're like, I messed up totally. I have failed this test so badly. I feel so far from God. I feel so ashamed of what I said, of what I did. Lord, look at me. I'm a mess. My robe is not white anymore. I'm not righteous. I have no righteousness. I am lowly. I failed you, Jesus. I messed up really badly. Peter, do you love me? This is where pride can get in the way. I think that Judas gambled. I think Judas thought he was going to make a boatload of money off of the miracle worker, and when it didn't pan out, he cut bait for 30 pieces of silver. Then when he realized what he had done, he wanted to retract it. And then I think by that time, he backed himself into a corner. And I think the voice of Satan that entered into him, that made him hard enough to betray a man who had just fed him bread, also said to him, "There's no hope for you, boy. You might as well just do the deed." And I think in that anger and that pride, he just went ahead and just went all the way. Forget about it. Because if he had had just 1 ounce of faith in Jesus, he could have gone to him and said, "My robe is messed up. I have failed." He could have said, "I did everything you said I would. I've lied to you from day one. I have secretly pretended to follow you, but I've been an adversary to you the whole time." I think all those lessons Jesus taught on money, I think he had been reaching for Judas the entire time. Scriptures like and verses like, "What profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses his?" I think Jesus was reaching for him constantly, and I think Judas could have made a different choice. But these people made a choice. These people also messed up. But you know what you do when you mess up under the pressure of great tribulation? You go back to the foot of the cross and you say, "Jesus, I do love you. Yes, I have failed you. Jesus, I'm not what I want to be, but you bled on Calvary for me. If I can get back to the foot of the cross, I can wash my robe again." Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands right now. Lord, we believe in you. We know you're able to do exceeding abundantly. Listen to me. Until Jesus comes, we're all going to go through this. This constant pressing, this constant catch your breath and then be slammed into another trial or tribulation. There are times when I've prayed and prayed, "Can I get a witness?" And I'm like, today my answer's coming. Today comes and gone and goes, and my answer's still not there. I have to make a choice whether I'm going to stand in front of the throne and say, "Okay, I didn't get my answer. I'm asking you to give me grace to take another day without the answer to my prayer and mercy for my unbelief." Wow. But I wanted... Nobody has a 20-year trial. We just get up every day and go through the day as best we can. And God has already promised to give us what we need. Oh, let me tell you something. Before you turn yourself around in pride and anger and say, "Just forget it," you take your robe and you go back to the foot of the cross and say, "Jesus, I did fail you, but if you'll wash me again, hallelujah." I believe we are going through tribulation. Sister Caroline, I don't want to be here when they blow those trumpets and when those angels dump those vials, because this happens before that. And while he's watching all these people being sealed, he says, "I see this huge number of people, and they're standing in white robes saying, 'Salvation, hallelujah.'" Hallelujah. Why can you say that? "Because I almost let go. I got dirty under pressure, but I went to the blood of the Lamb and he saved me again." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He saved me all over again. Say, what is he saving me from? He's saving me from merciless attacks on myself. "You failed. You might as well give up. You might as well quit. I'm not going to do the devil's work for him." Jesus said, "If I will confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness." Hallelujah. I'm going to call you to the front right now. I feel like everybody needs a washing. I feel like everybody needs to step in the presence of the Lord tonight. And if you can't stand, come sit in the front seat. We're ending a little bit early, but that's because we need to be in the presence of the Lord right now. We didn't call you forward to prayer because we're doing it for now. Some of us are going through trials and tribulations with our families. Some of us feel disappointed. Some of us feel weary. Some of us feel tired. It's easy to lose hope in Jesus and say and do things that you regret later. We're just coming to the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. 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 Sister Anna, Brother Shane, I want you to come up and sing, "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power." I don't care what you've done. I don't need to counsel you for 6 months. All you need to do is take what you've done, your robe. You say, "Lord, my robe got dirty. I've been under so much pressure." You know what Jesus is going to say to you? "I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I love you. I know you're under pressure." Hallelujah. 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 Let's lift our hands right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Oh, God, I don't want to walk out on you, but I know there are times when I don't respond like I should. I know there are times, Lord, when I say things I shouldn't and I don't say things I should. I am disobedient sometimes. God, I am not faithful sometimes. And you have never been unfaithful to me, even though I'm unfaithful to you.